I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right after I was ordained a deacon, I found out that my dad was dying of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Right before then, he had been given the option about 6 months ahead. They said, well, you know, you can, if you want, get a lung transplant, or you can make peace with the fact that this disease is leading to the grave. And so he said to the doctor, who was one of the world's great pulmonologist specialists at Duke. I always found it ironic that all of the world's cigarette money wound up at the pulmonology department at Duke. So he asked the doctor, he said, if I get a lung transplant, what will the outcome be? And the doctor said, you probably got 2 or 3 years, and you're going to have to take like 100 meds every day, and you're going to have to live in this tent so that nobody gets you sick, and so on and so forth. And you're going to not be able to eat a whole bunch of stuff and everything. And so then he said to the doctor, but if I don't get the lung transplant, what will be the outcome? And the doctor said, well, you'll die in 6 months. And so then my dad said, well, if I eat steak and have a martini every day between now and when I die in 6 months, will that have any adverse effects on me? And of course, the doctor said, well, no, because you're going to die in 6 months. So you can eat a steak and drink a martini every day between now and when you die, and it will have no adverse effects on you, right? And so my dad decided he was going to live for 6 more months and eat steak and drink martinis until he died. And I hadn't seen my dad a lot in the last 2 years before he died, because he was getting pretty sick and wasn't really able to travel around. But about 3 weeks before he died, he came out to St. Louis, and so it was an ordeal trying to get him off of one plane onto another plane. He was in a wheelchair, he had oxygen, and it was like cranked up all the way to like 98% or some crazy thing. And so he got there and he said, tomorrow we're going to go out and we're going to eat steak and we're going to drink martinis. And so we went to a restaurant, and he said, now, the only thing is, it's got to be close to a hospital, because after I go, I've got to get antibiotics, because with my lung disease, I'm probably going to wind up getting some type of pneumonia. So after we eat a steak and we get a martini, we're going to go over to the hospital, and that's kind of what we did. We had a steak, a couple martinis, and then we went off to the hospital, and I kind of went there in the emergency room with him, and I kind of asked him, I said, Dad, are you all right? Are you, other than dying, are you all right? You know? Crazy. What an awful pastoral question, right? You know? So anyway, I asked him, I said, are you all right with coming to terms with Diane? And he said, I've had this disease now probably for 5 years, and kind of known that I've had it for 3 years, and known that it's terminal now for a while. And he said, you know, when I first had it, I was always praying to God that I would get healed. And I was always praying that somehow I wouldn't have to deal with this disease anymore. And then when I went and I saw the doctor at Duke, and he said to me, you got 6 months, and that's it. What I realized was this. I had to stop trying to convince Jesus and God from being on Team Robert to realizing that I needed to be on Team Jesus and Team God. That the point of my relationship with God wasn't to get God to do things that I wanted God to do. the point of my relationship with God was to be invited into a relationship of life and love and be transformed by that relationship. And so I had to give up my notions of what it was that I wanted and what I thought was good, right, and holy, and come to terms with what it was that God was offering me, which was to have each day be a life that radiated with God's glory in and through Jesus Christ. Now, he said, I don't want to die, but what I really don't want to do is minimize my life, the love and the joy and the faith of my life, to getting what I want. Now, most of us live between being okay with receiving what it is that God has in store for us and wanting what we want from God. And that's our reading from John's Gospel today. Mary and Martha call for Jesus. The brother is sick. Lazarus is sick. And they don't want him to die. They know Jesus is powerful. If we could just get Jesus here, everything would be better. Of course, Jesus is called, and instead of running right to the emergency and putting out the emergency fire with his emergency fire extinguisher, he waits 2 days and says, this illness will not lead to death. But of course, you all have read this numerous times, and you know that it does lead to death. And so when Jesus gets there and Lazarus is dead, everybody is aflutter with why Jesus didn't come earlier. Why didn't he save Lazarus? Of course, Jesus tells us at the beginning of the reading that this illness will lead to the glory of God and will lead to the glory of God shining through Jesus Christ. He says, this is not about death or Lazarus or Martha or Mary or my disciples getting what they want. This is about the glory of God. So, Martha comes to him, and Jesus puts a very simple question before him. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever comes to me will not die, but will have eternal life. And then he says, do you believe? Of course, her answer is, yes, ne Kyrie, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe that you are the one coming. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe all these things about you, none of which Jesus actually asked her about. What he asked her about was, are you interested in living your life without the fear of death? Are you interested in living in me? Are you interested in participating in the resurrection and life? Are you interested in that which banishes all death and fear? Now, he says to her, well, good. Now, even though she says, I believe, She also, later on, when Jesus says, remove the stone from the tomb, she says, Lord, no, it's been 4 days and Lazarus already stinks. She knows what her eyes tell her. She knows what her life experience tells her, that dead is dead and that dead men don't get up. And now that it's been 4 days and his body is corrupted and stinks, nothing is going to pull him back from life, from death. But there is Jesus demanding that the tomb door be rolled away and that Lazarus come out of the tomb. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And there is the man after 4 days stinking of rot coming out of the tomb. And there is Jesus. And he says, unbind that man. Now, as I said before, we exist between what I like to call paganism 101, God, do what I want, and true faith, Lord, I believe. And we know that all of these disciples have a long way to go before they can fully embrace the Lord, I believe. And we know that each day we are alive, we wrestle with that very reality ourselves. I don't want any of you to die. I've already buried over 100 people here. I'd like to not bury any more of you. And yet, what I know is this. That's not the pact that we've made with God or ourselves or life. Yet, there is Jesus asking us that one very profound question. Do you believe? Not do you believe up here, not in some intellectual way, but are you ready to participate in my very life? Are you ready to participate in the resurrection? Are you ready to go where I go? Are you ready to share in my life? Are you ready to share in my death? Are you ready to share in that which is unbelievable, that which is resurrection? That's the question, not just put to Mary and Martha and the disciples, but to each one here today. The good news in the Gospel of John is being brought right to you. And Jesus wants to know, where are you going? Do you believe? Amen. Amen. As you were in.